around the corner. It seems no time since it was September past. Great stuff. Thank you to Patty for reading from Isaiah chapter 9. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you feel that life is a bit hopeless? Do you feel that the world is in a dark place? You just get frustrated with politicians or the terror that's in our world. You just feel hopeless. And that's, sorry, this is not very Merry Christmas and come and join the celebration. But when we think in Isaiah chapter 9, it's like hope has gone. The king was dead. It was like the enemy had won. The girls, well, they just sobbed. It was like their hearts were going to burst. Hope had gone. But then somewhere around them, they heard something. It was like a rumble, strong, deep. Hope began to live again. Aslan was standing there. Just before, he had been dead on the stone table, but now he was alive again, and hope lived. The girls asked him what was going on, and he said this. It means that though the witch knew the deep magic, there is a deeper magic still, which she did not know. Her knowledge goes back only to the dawn of time. But if she could have looked a little further back into the stillness and the darkness before time dawned, she would have read that there is a different incantation. She would have known that when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would work backwards. There's a deeper magic still. The girls felt hopeless. It seemed that life was out of control, but they didn't understand as Aslan understood. Maybe you've read the story in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the Chronicles of Narnia. Well, to be honest, the context of Isaiah chapter 9, chapter 8 is there purposely, to put us in context, it was hopeless for the nation of Israel. Let me just read to you, please, from chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upwards, they will curse their king and their God. Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Do you ever feel like that? That sense of hopelessness. The commentators write of this chap called Barry Webb, and I can't help thinking about Barry Webb as the man from the Sillett Bang advert, Barry Webb. But this is the Bible commentator who says, this is talking about the imminent devastation of the northern kingdom by Assyria. This is hopeless. But by faith, he, Isaiah, sees a glorious reversal that will one day be effected by God's grace. And so we jump from despair and darkness in chapter 8, finishing with darkness, being thrust into utter darkness. Isaiah 9, verse 2, we sang it as our closing praise last Sunday. We've read it today. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. There is hope. There is hope within these words that we read together. Again, Alex Motier, one of the commentators, says, The remnant is sustained by the forecast that the great light that shines beyond the darkness, the forecast that there is a great light that shines beyond the darkness. Question. What is this hope? What does this hope look like? Well, again, Paddy has read for us. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has called. This hope will enlarge the nation, increase joy. People will rejoice, as like in the rejoicing of harvest coming in. They will divide plunder from their enemies. And this hope will shatter the enemies. It will defeat the enemies. Sorry, I just need to cough again. So what does this hope look like? But here's the question, and here's what we want to focus on this morning. Who is this hope? Who is this hope? And it's amazing when we read in verses 6 and 7, and again, please open scripture, keep it open in your lap, because here's the hope, here's the who. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Who is this hope? Who is this hope? Well, he is described here in four little stanzas. He is a wonderful, wonderful counselor. And in that little phrase, I am no Hebrew scholar, and I thought Pele was actually a footballer, but maybe he was a supernatural footballer. Pele in Hebrew is the word for supernatural, beyond understanding. You can't just quite fathom or get to the bottom of his understanding and his power. Pele, he will be Wonderful Counselor. Beyond our understanding, he will be greater in his understanding. Again, one of the commentators says, bringing a wisdom that is far above the human. So Jesus is our Wonderful Counselor. In a way that we cannot get our heads around. He is the Wonderful Counselor who shares in our sorrows, who walks with us in the valley of the shadow of death. He is the Wonderful Counselor who stands with us in our suffering. Fear not, for I am with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He is the Wonderful Counselor. But beyond our understanding, girls, there is a deeper magic still that the White Witch knew nothing about. Do you get this? This is where the hope is. He is our Wonderful Counselor. But there's a bigger picture here too. The Wonderful Counselor who invites us to cast all our anxiety or all our cares upon him, because he cares for us. But I would love to be able to pick, and when I prepared for today, I thought, yes, Jesus is our Wonderful Counselor, and that's all lovely, and that's all cozy, and that's great. That's what I wanted the Bible to say. And that is absolutely right and true. But there's something bigger here too. Because the whole context of this passage is the context of battle, of kingdoms rising and falling. And the counselor, the Wonderful Counselor, this is a war council. This is the generals sitting around the table talking about how they're going to defeat the enemy. And this wonderful counselor has insight and wisdom way beyond human understanding. That's the real heart of the passage here. The God who has a strategy, who has a divine plan beyond our understanding, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He is the wonderful counselor. In the battle that's taking place in your life and my life, as we live in this world, and as we have an enemy in Satan, he is our wonderful counselor who knows and understands and stands with us and stands for us, giving us strength. He is the wonderful counselor who is the mighty God with a divine power. Again, just picking an Isaiah here in chapter 28, see how these two phrases come together. All this comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. All this comes from the Lord Almighty, mighty God, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. The mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God. These little verses here, if you can see them, and they're deliberately shadowed, Deuteronomy 10:17, Nehemiah 9:32, Jeremiah 32, verse 18, all bear out in Hebrew this picture of the mighty God. In Hebrew, the God hero. In Hebrew, the strong one. So you have, and I have, in Jesus, the wonderful counselor who stands with us, the mighty God who upholds us, the strong one. In the New American Standard Version, it says, the term applied to Yahweh, to God here, predicts the ultimate victory of the Messiah over evil. So if you feel today hopeless, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, stands with you. 8 times in the book of Exodus, we read the little phrase, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, he released his people from the Pharaoh. In Deuteronomy 26, this little phrase is peppered the whole way through the Old Testament. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. This is the mighty God. This is our God. The wonderful counselor, the mighty God. But in the Christmas story, might is in a manger, in baby clothes. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. But the government will be on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Whoa, hang on. The mighty God in a manger. We will sing it in a little while. Meekness and majesty. Manhood, humanity, and deity, divinity, in the cradle. How does this work? And I can't help thinking, and I don't want to be provocative, but when thinking about all that's going on at the minute and the hopelessness in our world with the ISIS threat, what would Jesus do? They bomb us, so let's bomb them. Don't want to get political. But what would Jesus do? The mighty God, yet might within a manger. The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. How do we get our head around this? Can we get our head around this? I love the passage in Philippians 2. This mighty God, who being in very nature God, considered equality with God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The mighty God. And he is the mighty God, but he chooses the way of humility. The Aslan story in Chronicles of Narnia, that's the picture that C.S. Lewis was looking at. This morning, do you feel hopeless? All hope is gone. Well, really, this passage this morning reminds us that there is a deeper magic still. Only it's not magic. It's the power of God through the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, who is the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. For your life and for my life this morning, maybe we feel, like we read in chapter 8, that we're living in a land of darkness. But the hope is there in Jesus. The people walking in darkness have seen this great light. This great light, who is the wonderful Counselor. And the confidence and the comfort this morning is that he has a plan for your life and for my life. He is aware of Satan's schemes in your life and in my life. And he has a strategy to defeat that because he is the wonderful Counselor. Yes, who walks with us and stands with us, but who fights for us and knows what's going on. He is the mighty God who has the power and the strength to defeat Satan. But he may do it in a way that is a curveball in your life, in my life. The hope of Christ. The hope of Christ, who was the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. That's the Christmas story. The God who said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So please this morning be encouraged. The Christmas story, Emmanuel, God who is with us, who is the wonderful Counselor, who knows and understands and fights for us. Who is the mighty God who has the strength and the power to bring victory in your life, in my life. I appreciate and I understand that it may be really tight and tough right now. But the hope of the Christmas story is Emmanuel. God who is the wonderful Counselor and the mighty God. Let's pray together, please. Lord, these may be difficult words to hear depending on our circumstances this morning. But Lord, give us eyes to see, please, that in you there is light within the darkness. There is a hope through Jesus, who is the wonderful Counselor and the mighty God. The God who comes in meekness, but with majesty. Lord, help us to respond appropriately to these truths, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we respond to the message this morning, let's use the words of the great Graham Kendrick, in meekness and majesty, manhood and deity. Let's stand together, use these words as we continue to reflect on what we've thought about in this passage.